If not,
open your Bibles. How many fingers you got? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Put your finger in those two places if you would. 2 Samuel 12, 2 Samuel 23. That's the beginning of sorrows. We got a few other places I want to go. 2 Samuel 12, 2 Samuel 23, and put your fingers there. And then if you can, turn over to the New Testament real quickly. I want to look at a verse first in Hebrews chapter 12. I was thinking of running a race. We run a race in life. I was thinking back when I used to run some track. And you had a beginning, you had the end. And sometimes in the middle, man, it was something. I ran hurdles for a while, and one time I tripped over a hurdle. It was not fun. Bit the dust. One time I run a race, looked back and tripped and fell right before I went across the finish line and skimped myself all up, embarrassed myself, and I should have never looked back, but I did. I was thinking of these boys this weekend. We went over there and we had five hard games and 2 days, three hard games at the second day, which was the hardest teams we played, and trying to dig them out, and finally we just kind of surrendered a little bit and said we're going to try to just take it easy the rest of the way on out, just run out of gas, and I didn't understand that. That was a lot to ask. We don't have much of a bench, and they have to play the whole game just about it, and we get a little break here or there, but it's easy to do sometimes. I push them and push them and push them. But sometimes it's time to say, just got to catch your breath and ease out. But I want each of you to know that life's all a race. Chapter 12, verse 1 in Hebrews says this, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now listen to me. Each of you that are saved, you have a race. Your race begins when you're saved. It ends when you're raptured or die. Each of you have your own race. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 real quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says this in verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I've finished my" what? Course. "I've kept the faith." In each of our races, we have a course. Everybody's here, your course is different. No two courses are the same. But every one of you has a start, you have a finish. And we could go on and we could use examples from the Bible. Some started well, ended bad. Some started bad, ended good. But however, you have that race and you have a course. Look, two more places, if you would. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, note, if you would, in verse number 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receive" what? the prize. So run that you may obtain. Why do we run? What do we want? Now, to get the prize, we have to finish a course. Sometimes you finish a course, sometimes you quit. And it's easy sometimes when you fall in the middle of a race to quit, or you can get up and try to run as hard as you can and finish a race. And I finished the race, but I probably didn't get up and run as hard as I could. I should have, but I was embarrassed and skin up, and my pride was all crushed. And but in this life race we have, you run to obtain a prize, and that's what you work hard for. The Bible calls them crowns, trophies, at the end of life. Look one more place, if you would, in Acts, if you would, verse chapter number 13. Let me ask you, of all the people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, who was probably, their actions was most disappointing to you in the Bible? David? That would be the case. David was a man after God's own heart. David had a course. Look, if you would, in chapter 13. And begin reading with me, if you would. In verse number 21. The Bible says, and afterward, talking about Israel, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them who? David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. This is God's testimony. He said and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall what? Fulfill what? Whoa. This is the New Testament. This is after David has done his thing. Bathsheba, counting of Israel, and not only that, sending, getting the ark the wrong way, not sending the priest and doing the things. That's why the guy ended up dying. So here we have David, a man, God's testimony of him. He never speaks ill. Now listen to me. Never speaks ill of David in the New Testament. Never, ever. Look on in verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel what? Through David, he's going to bring Jesus. After David's failures, he's still going to raise and bring Jesus. Look, if you would, on over in verse number 36. He said, for David, after he had served his own generation, by the what? Fell asleep and was laid into his father and saw corruption. Turn, if you would, back into 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. Now, in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel is where Nathan comes to David. David has committed adultery with Uriah's wife. He took Uriah's wife. She become pregnant. Remember that? And God sent Nathan to say, Nathan, thou art the man. Remember that? Now, notice when he did that, in verse 13, what happened. And David said unto Nathan, what? I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away what? Thy sin, thou shalt not die. Notice that David says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, I have sinned. And Nathan says, David, God's put away your sin. In verse 14, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall what? And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David. Knows that? Whose wife? Uriah's wife. Remember that. And it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, went in, laid all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Now imagine this, for 7 days he laid there praying, fasting, crying out to God for the child's life. And continue on. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, he washed and he anointed himself, and he changed his apparel, and he came into his house, into the house of the Lord, and what? Whoa. And then he came to his own house, and when he required that they set bread before him, he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now let me say this, you can underline this little verse in your Bible if you want to. But it's a good comfort to know, and I've used this verse many times preaching the funeral of children. It's good to know that when babies die, they go to be with the Lord. And David didn't have any doubt about that. He said, I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him, because it was obvious where the baby went. Look on, if you would, in verse 24. This is what I want you to see. And David comforted Bathsheba. Now, picture this just a moment, and I want you to understand that David comforted Bathsheba. So he went into Bathsheba, and he put things in perspective. And for David to get beyond what he had done it. What was done was done. What was written was written. Folks, listen to me. Not that it made it any more right what David done, but David did it. God dealt with it, and David put it behind him. And David went in to comfort Bathsheba. And the Bible says, Bathsheba what? Huh? In verse 24, and David comforted Bathsheba what? Not Uriah's wife anymore. God's put that behind him. Now it's David's wife. He's forgave David. David committed sin with Uriah's wife. God took the baby from that sin. God forgave David of his sin. Now it's no longer Uriah's wife. Uriah's dead. That was on David too. Now it is David's wife. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. Now remember, if you go back and read, I didn't take time to go back and read all this, but God promised that the sword would not depart from David's house. All David's other sons died terrible deaths. One killed the other one. One David's chief of the army, Joab, killed when he hung his hair in a oak tree. Now, and he rebelled against David. Now, notice he laid with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon. The word Solomon comes from where Salem come from Salah, the root word Salah, meaning peace. Solomon meant the son of peace. Now remember, he'd just gone through this. God had forgave him. He put it behind him. He did not allow that to continue on. He accepted the forgiveness and restoration of God. Now, notice if you would, the Bible says that bare a son, called his name Solomon, and the Lord what? Loved him. He didn't tell David to leave Bathsheba, but he allowed him to bear a son. And he says, now you got peace. He forgave him. David put it behind him. He didn't live the rest of his life. He was running his course. He started out well. He was running his course. But man, he did really fail and stumbled in this time. But instead of quitting, he got up and he continued on running the race. And he didn't let what happened take him out of the race. Look on. Then the Bible says, and he sent by the hand of Nathan, the prophet. Now Nathan the prophet was just there earlier and pointed his finger at David and said, David, thou art the man. And he told David what he was going to receive. Now knows what happens. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. The word Jedidiah means beloved of Yah or Jehovah. In other words, Jehovah loved this boy. This boy was going to be the one that Jesus was going to come out of his loins. He was going to go through David down through Solomon and bring about Jesus Christ. Now, turn if you would to 2 Samuel chapter 23. So we know that he picked up life from where he fell in his race, and he went on. God can and will bless your life, even if you made some grave mistakes in your life, if you get it right and make it right. And God's able to do that, and he's able to use. He's able to use you. Even after you've made a terrible mistake in your life, or maybe many terrible mistakes in your life. David made some real zingers. Look in chapter 23, verse number 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. There you go, brother Junior. Fear of the Lord, or fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as a tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God. In other words, he said, my children were not this way. My children was a disappointment. He lost a lot of his children. I have no doubt that Absalom and Ammon's probably in hell. I'd say that's probably true. Sad that they died and went there, just like Eli's son. It's sad that Eli's two sons probably died and went to hell, Hophni and Phinehas. when they had such opportunities of being saved. God loved Eli, but God killed his two sons. Look on, verse number 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he made it not to grow. Now let me conclude real fast, three or four things, the reason why David was able to finish his course. Now listen to me very carefully. Number one, notice in verse 1, he talks about the God of Jacob. From his early years to his latter years, he knew who God was. Some wise guy said this one time. He said, bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people, but neither one of them stays that way very long. In other words, sometimes God allows some things to come to good people, bad things, but he has a purpose for bringing it out. Just like a Job, the terrible things that happened to him, but look how God blessed him afterwards because he was a good person. Now, I said that, but say this. Now listen to me very carefully. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way in which it should go. When it grows old, it shall not depart from it. Now listen to me very carefully. You know why David was able to finish his course in a good manner? Because he got grounded in something when he was young. Somebody said, Sunday school worth it? School worth it? All this effort we do with our kids, is it worth it? You only get one shot when they're young. And you need to be grounding them in something. What kept David was, and to David's shame is this. When David's children come along, David was so busy that he neglected to do what was important with his kids. And his older kids departed from that. Now, so here we find, the Bible says, that David, he remembered the God of Jacob. Not only that, but he worshiped the God of Jacob. He was called the Psalmist of Israel. David realized, by the way, now listen to me, David had a lot of tears because of what happened to his sons. He wept when Absalom, he caught Ammon, got him out to, I got to say this slowly, sheep shearing, and he caught Ammon drunk while they were shearing sheep. Shot him in the heart with an arrow, his half-brother did, Absalom, because he'd raped his sister. Ammon drunk, went out in eternity to meet God. David wept when he heard it. When Absalom rebelled against him, tried to take his kingdom away from him, going to kill him, he's riding on his mule, went under an oak tree, hair hung in the oak tree. Joab come along and killed him. David heard and he wept and cried. It broke his heart. But David not, listen to me, David not one time blamed God. David owned his sin. He never blamed his sin on anybody else. He said, I have sinned. Not that woman that thou put on the porch. Not the fact that the army, I didn't go to army because I got tired. They wouldn't listen to what I said. He didn't put the blame on anyone else or God, you've been unjust to me. Not one time in all this, when he was going through all that sorrow with his family, he looked and he said, God, what are you doing in my life? He knew where the sin lied. And you know why he was able to get beyond it and be used of God again? He owned up to his sin. Look on. And by the way, he never was bitter at God in all that. In verse 2, notice the Bible says, Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Listen, David learned the importance of the word of God. You hear me? They were made to learn the importance of the Word of God when he was young. When I got away, my mom and dad tried to raise me. Dad, when we were little, was out of the will of God. When I was born in London, Kentucky, and quick as Diane was born, we went to Lansing, Michigan, right outside Detroit, Michigan. From Detroit, Michigan, we come down to Chicago. We lived there. Dad drove a beer truck for a while. He drunk and went to all the bars. Many times he would go there and he would lose his paycheck. And mom had five little kids at home to feed. And he'd gamble and lose his paycheck. And we'd have nothing to eat until he got his next paycheck. He was away from God, running from God. And then eventually we come from there and we finally ended back up in Clay County. And and really went to London, and God changed his life around. Eventually he surrendered to preach and started pastoring church. Sinking Creek Baptist Church was his first church. But he got away from God. But then he tried to raise us in the way. I too got away from God. When I did, God, I knew as a little boy, I was made, when Dad started going to church, he made us go to church. And as a child, many times I did not want to go. As a matter of fact, I tried to find an excuse to stay home. The only problem was Mom and Dad had a rule. If you stayed home from church, two types of medicine you took, Epsom salts and castor oil. I'd rather go to church anytime. Even when I was sick, I went to church. They thought that cured all, but it also cured the fact of trying to lay out and not go to church, Tony. But look here. When I went as a child, why was it important? Even when I didn't realize it, I was learning the Word of God. Even when I got away from God, not one time did I ever doubt that was the Word of God. Not one time did I ever doubt that was true. I didn't want to hear it, but I knew it was true. And as a matter of fact, what I'd already heard, I heard enough of it that I couldn't get away from it. Why is it important to have your kids around the Word of God? You know one thing that kept David in the race, even after he made some real bad blunders? He loved the Word of God. He believed the Word of God. I mean, read Psalms 119, how he thought about the Word of God. He put it in his heart. He ate it. The Word of God was everything to him. Now, so again, we find that helped keep David on track. Then look on. The Bible talks about the light that he knew and that he said, and he shall be as the light of the morning. You look at how David led his army. What he did was he led them in the ways in which God would have them do. Remember when Saul was going to try to kill David? Remember how it was that David could have killed Saul two or three times? Matter of fact, he went and made Saul realize that he came right in his camp, right by him. And he was right there. He could have killed him. But David told his army, he said, far be it from us to touch the head of the anointed. I'm not going to do that. You know what led David to do that? He led the people around him in the will of God. Did he make some blunders? Yeah. But you know what? He sought the will of God for the people that he led. And even when he failed, even when his son rebelled, even when he got his throne back, he didn't quit and he finished the race in the will of God. Isn't that good? Not only that, but think about this. Look in verse 5. He said, although my house be not so. The sword never left David's house. He paid for that dearly. But he never again, never got bitter at God and never put it on God. He realized, and he said, yet, look in verse 5. He said, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and my desire, shall although he make it not to grow. He said, you know, some of my kids didn't make it. That's on me. I'm sure he wept many tears behind the scene. But last but not least, he had desire to please God because of God's forgiveness. If you want to know when David pled to God and how he pled to God, go to Psalms chapter 51. There you'll find the pleading of David before God. David had a great desire that God would restore the joy, not his salvation, the joy of his salvation. He lost it. But you know what David did? Get this, I'm closing. David started running a race. Started over here and somewhere he got saved, Tony, at his dad Jesse's house. He learned of God, of Jacob. He learned of all the things. He learned the word of God. And he believed in God and he trusted God. And he'd out there in the sheepfold and he'd write psalms to God. He'd sing songs to God. He'd play his harp and he calmed them. And he grew in the Lord out there. And he started his race. And we get to see all the events. And 2-3 times he fell and he stumbled. And one time, man, he fell really bad. But the things that kept him going was the things I just talked about. And you know where he got all those things? Turn, if you would, right here, and we're going to close. Read this verse with me. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 22, verse number 6. Proverbs 22, verse number 6. You think maybe God rewards when you try to do right? Look again, I know I quote it, but look, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, what? He may fall. He may fall. But when he's young, it's when you put things in his life that will get him finishing his race well. It's those that has no foundation that when they stumble, they don't understand because they don't have the understanding. And many times when they stumble, they drop out of the race and they quit. And is it easy to get back up and run? But it's a lot easier when you've been made to know and believe what the Word of God says. To believe in God's forgiveness. And to see that God's still blessing your life, even after you've made a terrible blunders. That was David. Now you're running a race. It's your course. And it's your prize to win. David got his prize. Even after a few blunders in life, he still got a prize. Amen. Let's stand tonight.